I want to say again that we come to the house of God for one purpose, and that is to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know that my people are not very spiritual. I realize that. I know that without having to ask them. I'm around them. And I know as a whole they're not very spiritual. I know we talk about a lot of spiritual things, and I realize that. But I know that as a whole, they're not very spiritual. They don't have their minds on the Spirit and on the things of God very much. They should, but they don't. With the warnings of God that we give and all the things of God that we tell them, they still don't seem to place much emphasis on being spiritual or staying in a prayed-up way to where that they can communicate with the Holy Spirit and have the benefits that they need from God. So then it makes it very difficult most of the time to be able to communicate with them as far as telling them something that I understand spiritually. But I do know that I got some good people. As far as people that are clean, people that love the Lord, I've got a number of people that really try to be clean and try to be upright. I know that I got some that's bad to gossip. I realize that, and no matter what I say to them, they're going to get with their daughter, or they're going to get with their mother, or they're going to get with their daddy, or the wife with the husband, or the husband with the wife, or whatever they're going to do it with their relatives, or their brother, a sister, a cousin, or children, or somebody. They're going to gossip one way or another. I know that they're going to do it. Though I pleaded with them not to do it, they're still going to do it. But they're going to be lost. Some of them are going to be lost because of it. The Bible said, he that backbiteth with his tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. He shall not do it. He shall not stand in the holy hill of God. If you've got a backbiting spirit, you're just as sure to go to hell as that book is in my hand. You can come to church all you want to, and you can, you ladies can wear the long dresses all you want to, and you men can act just as pious as you want to, but you're sure to go to hell if you've got a backbiting spirit. If you've got a fault-finding spirit, always finding fault, always finding fault, never want to help, never want to do anything, but always finding reason why you can't give, why you can't help, why you can't work, why you can't fellowship the brethren, why you can't come to church, always finding fault. Always, if you got a fault-finding spirit, you are going into the lake of fire. There's no other way for you. Now, I had rather be a person that never give a dime to God in my whole life. Never do anything for God as far as reaching out, trying to preach the gospel. And be a person that didn't say anything about anybody as far as backbiting and finding fault with them. If I had to stand before God, I'd choose that side of it. If I had to leave off one, I'd leave off the one that went out to win souls. Now you say, Brother Pike, that don't sound right, but it is right. You'd be better off. Because Paul said, after that I have preached to others, if I myself don't keep under this body and bring it into subjection, I'll be a castaway. So I had rather keep my body under subjection, keep my mind straight, keep my mouth shut, and do the right thing in the sight of God. That way at least I'd make heaven. So then I know that I've got some good people here. I've got some hypocrites here too. I know that. I know I've got some that in my presence, they're just as mellow and sweet as they can be. And behind my back, they're just a hypocrite. They're hypocriting around and doing everything that's ungodly. I had some of them to leave me not too long ago that was playing the hypocrite. They were in our midst. As a matter of fact, Bill mentioned something today about somebody that was right along with us. And all the time, they were playing the hypocrite. He knew about it himself, he said. So we got people that's just going to do that. It doesn't matter what you tell them or how much you preach to them. It doesn't matter how much you want them. It doesn't matter how much the preacher says. That isn't going to do any good. When they get out of your presence, they're going to be just like it was with Esau and Jacob. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears, always bawling and crying because he knew he had lost the birthright. But he didn't find any place of repentance. But there are others that are like Jacob. Down in their heart, they want to do right. They want to do right. And they're going to do right somehow or another. They may stumble and they may stagger. And they may make a mistake and they may get caught in maybe saying something they ought not to say. And they're so sorry as quick as it flashes across their mind. You know. And they're so sorry because they want to do right and they're going to do right. And I don't mean somebody that gossips all day and all week and every time they get in church it flashes across their mind that they've been a hypocrite. Or that they've talked and gossiped and they're so sorry. Them people are sorry because they're going to hell. But I'm talking about people that will catch themselves all of a sudden having said something. And their heart will prick them down here. And they're so sorry. And they'll say, I'm so sorry. I wish I hadn't have done that. Just as quick as it happens. As quick as they think something, they catch themselves. You know, the Bible said casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought, not rest until every thought be thoroughly brought into subjection and to obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so we are interested in you. We are interested in trying to help you and see that you come up in the best way. And I know I got some good people. I know that I have. And I'm very thankful for you. I appreciate every one of you. I love you. I want to help you. I'll do anything I can to help you. I'll stand by you to the best of my ability. And in that day, if God will receive me, then I'll stand there in your behalf. If He'll receive me, I'll stand there in your behalf. But there's one thing about it. You got to admit, a hypocrite is a hypocrite whether he's at Little Bethlehem or whether he's in the Baptist church. Whether he's in the Church of God or the Assemblies of God or wherever he's at, he's a hypocrite. And a righteous man is a righteous man even if he's in the Catholic Church. Martin Luther was a righteous man and he was in the Catholic Church. God had to bring him out of it, but he was still a righteous man. He loved God. So a person that's righteous is righteous. You take a lamb, he's a lamb even if you put him in a hog pen. But a hog is a hog even if you put him in a lamb pen. He's still a hog. So, whatever you are, that's what you are. And I trust to God that you've been born again and that you have the nature, the lamb nature of Jesus Christ, and that you have a nature that makes you want to do right. You know, the Bible teaches that the leopard can't change his spots, that the Ethiopian cannot change his skin. Neither can they that are accustomed to do evil do righteousness. Them that are made to do evil, they can't do righteous. They just can't do it. They don't have the nature. They don't have the life. They don't have the inbred godliness on the inside to do good. There is something on the inside of them that hungers after this world. They are not happy doing anything for God. They're not happy being with God's people. They're not happy following after Christ. They're not happy when you talk about sharing with God and God's people and with the needy and doing something for God. They don't find any happiness in that. They find happiness in prestige, and they find happiness in making money, and they find happiness in security, and they find happiness in going out to the eating joints, and they find happiness in going in and out the little old tinklet stores, you know, of buying and picking up a pot and getting a new dress and a pair of shoes and riding off and vacationing and getting a new car. That's their world. That's their happiness. And that's the only happiness they have. To get away and get down on their knees and pray. There's no happiness in that for them. That just tires at them. They can't hardly bear that. There's something about that that just tears them to pieces just to try to get down there for a few minutes. They're miserable. They can't stand it. To try to share their little income or whatever they got with God, it just tears them to pieces to do that. Because they just don't have it on the inside. They just don't have it. It just isn't there. That's all it is to it. I praise God for His wonderful blessings. I was thinking of Sister Ella Morris. I hope she don't mind me saying this, but Sister Betty was telling me how that she fasts and seeks God and gets out on the street and gives out tracts, and how that she's always giving to God. As a matter of fact, that even I know God will meet her needs abundantly, abundantly forgiven. But I'd much rather some of the others give more and she give less. That's right, a whole lot less. So that we could share and share alike. But still, that's the right attitude. That's the right attitude. We should have the attitude of the early church where they sold all that they had, all of their possessions, everything, and brought it and laid it down at the apostles' feet. For the publication of the gospel. That's the way the church was. Now you say, Brother Pike, you think I ought to sell my home and all these kind of things? No, I'm not telling you to do that. I believe it is my conviction that a man can sell out in his heart and still be a steward over what he's got and still use it for the glory of God. There's men that have jobs. There are men that have positions that if they would sell out in their heart to God, they'd be 10 times what they are to God and could do far more for Christ and be a steward over what God has given them. How do you understand what I'm saying? I don't need for you to bring me a lot of land and a lot of houses. What would I do with it? Like somebody come here a while back, a long time back, and they was bringing me their trucks and bringing me their tools and bringing everything. I said, man, I don't need it. You're the one that needs it. You need to use it for God and do something for God. I mean, I could sell it and get money out of it, but that's the end of it. But a man that take it and be a steward of it, use it for God, he may give 10 times that much in a few months. So then, to give to God, to surrender to God, to be a workman for God, to make your life a ministry for God, that's what you need to do, folks. All right, let's read. I'm done preaching before I even read. In the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, the 24th verse, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Now, Jesus tells us there's not going to be anything hid. He's going to bring everything to where we'll be able to see it. All right, let's read here in the 7th verse of the 11th chapter. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I believe that you know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. I believe that you are aware of this. After a number of years here in this place of ministering to you, what time that we haven't been out on the field, I believe that through that you've been partakers of the divine knowledge of God, that you've been made to understand that the coming of Jesus is at hand. The coming of Jesus is not way off, but the coming of Jesus is at hand. The coming of the Lord is nearby. What we need to realize is that Christ is coming, is right upon us. It's not way off out in the future, but that the coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, when the coming of the Lord came about in the days of John, the entire church world missed the coming of the Lord. They missed the coming of the Lord because they didn't understand the coming of the Lord. They kept looking for the Lord in some way that they had not been told of. I don't know why it is that people get things in their mind. You know, they get certain things in their mind and they stay with that. Doesn't matter how much you try to straighten their understanding out. They just get something in their mind and they believe it just like that. They believe that it's like that. Though you try your best to tell them God's word and explain to them that it's wrong, yet they hold on to it. It's become part of their makeup. They've settled it back in their minds and their minds go right back to it, no matter what. And that's the way it was. In the days of John, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, they had got something in their mind about the coming of the Lord. Amen. And they was looking for God on a great white stallion, coming as a great wealthy king to ride into Jerusalem. And everybody, all of the great dignitaries, all of the wealthy people, was going to flock around him. And they was going to magnify him and set him on the throne of David, and all of their enemies was going to have to back off and take notice, and that he was going to form his great armies, and they were just going to rise up against the Roman people and all of the enemies of that day and just wipe them out and set up the kingdom of God. That was their concept of the coming of Jesus. And then all of a sudden, here a little old baby born in a stable over here in a manger, didn't even have a bed to lay down on. You hear the mother and daddy in such circumstances, they were just poor people. And there he was, and while they couldn't believe that was the Lord, but yet the angel of God himself came. Stood on the mountainside, as we would say. All the angel of God in the form of a great light came upon the shepherds on the hillside and said unto you, a Savior is born. There is a Christ that has come. But they didn't know anything about a Christ coming and why it didn't bother them. Everything was the same as it always was. They didn't see anything that made them to believe that their Christ had come. But yet God himself that created heaven and earth had come into the earth. There he was in the earth. God, who had never been seen by human eyes, all of a sudden there he was in human form in the earth. And nobody knew about it. Nobody recognized him. And yet the prophecy had stated, the word of God had emphatically stated, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And his name shall be called Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. The prophet had spoken it, and it came to pass. But they didn't see it. They didn't recognize it. Why was it like that? Why was it like that? It was because they were gluttonous, hypocritical. They were busybodies in other men's matters. They were backbiting. doing everything to where the darkness had their minds blinded and they couldn't see clear. They couldn't understand. They had overlooked the truth. And there it was, right there before them. There it was, the Christ had come, and they had not seen it. They said, but Lord, how could that be the Christ? And besides that, they said the Scripture said Elijah's going to come. What about all of this, they said? Well, we're Bible scholars. We know the Bible said Elijah's got to come. Where's that great prophet that's going to call down fire from heaven? And here comes a John with a little old piece of skin around him, out there on a stump, as we would say, preaching the gospel, hollering, repent of your sins, you bunch of hypocrites. How do you understand what I'm saying? They said, but where is the great, mighty Elijah? Jesus said, well, this is Elijah. Oh, don't you know they must have had them say one more big laugh. Say, well, this is Elijah if you can receive it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? They said, who, him? Surely he don't mean him. Say, well, sure. And besides that, he said, well, there's the Christ. You mean him? You talking about the carpenter's son? Surely you don't mean that. Yes, that's the way it was. The foolish and base things of the world to confound the wise. There he stood, the God of heaven and earth, the carpenter's son. There stood the great prophet Elijah, not working one miracle in their midst. Praise God. But the mighty prophet, the great Elijah, stood there. This is he of whom I spake. Behold, I send my prophet, my messenger before thy face. Somebody said, that little old backward fellow that come out of the hills, who in the world is he? God said, a prophet. Oh, he said he's more than a prophet. Amen. My, he made a fuss over him. More than a prophet. They said, well, what about that great king back there? He said, I'll go tell that fox. That's how he felt about him. He said, take this man here that come out of the wilderness. He's more than a prophet. Say, but what about that great leader back yonder? I said, go tell that fox. How do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the attitude of Christ Jesus? They said, what about the celebrities? He said, go tell that fox. But they said, this man is a nobody. But he said, he's mighty and great. See, we judge wrong. We get something in our minds, folks. And we judge wrong. That's why I said this morning, I don't know where preachers ever got the idea that salvation is an optional thing. Whoever started preaching such? Whoever told such? There's no Bible for that. There never was any Bible for it. You know what happened? Some good, wonderful, God-given, Holy Ghost-filled men of God that preached hell, fire, and brimstone. They preached until people repented of their sins. And then when a few people began to get together, a bunch of hypocrites that call themselves ministers that they run through seminary, a bunch of money-hungry people began to see a way to make a dollar and saw these people congregating and giving their pennies. They started their cunning devices to figure out how to slip them in a so-called preacher to collect the offering and to sue them and to let the one that give the biggest offering stay in the crowd to make sure that they didn't offend him because their goal was his offering. And they began to tell him how good God was and that it was all right, that God understood the mess he was in that he wanted to live in and the hog pen he wanted to wallow in. That God understood he was a hog, but he was going to take him to heaven anyway. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Brother Pike, you know it didn't sound like that. It sounded just like that. Jesus said, the sow goes back to her wallowing in the mire. And the dog back to his vomit. So then, they pimpered and pampered and petted until they got a conglomeration of a mess. And they finally said, "Now it's all right. It's all right. If you want to go to heaven, you can go to heaven. If you've got other things to do and you're too busy, we understand. Maybe it'll be another day when you can come and worship with us, or there might be a more convenient time for you. Besides, if you don't make it, well, there's somebody that'll pray you out of purgatory anyway. There's somebody that can pay after you're gone. We understand that you was one that was too busy and you had things to do." Come on, folks. And they preached it every way until they've got the world in a mess. And got people living everywhere in just any old evil, ungodly, filthy way. Drinking and cursing and frolicking and still confessing to be Christians. You know, God understood back yonder when a man would pull out a six-shooter and blow your brains out and he didn't know nothing about God. God even let him by when they'd go to church and they'd blow an Indian's brains out when he's trying to kill a little family because they didn't know any better. Trying to protect themselves. He let David by when David said, "I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. Kill many people." But folks, there comes a reckoning day. There comes a day when we try to understand. There comes a day when God gives us some kind of knowledge and we can't do those kind of things. How do you understand what I'm saying? Right. See, the Holy Ghost fill preachers. Preach repentance. Preach, you got to repent of your sins or you're going to die and go to hell. They told them reckless, ruthless people, "Folks, you can't go on like you're going. God's going to burn you in the flames. You got to do something." And those folks got shook up and came to the altar. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't understand today, Brother Pike. Why? We don't have anybody in the altar anymore." I'll tell you why you don't. You don't preach sermons anymore. That's the difference. Back there, them people preached until the hellfire and brimstone could just about be felt. They preached until people were shook up. They couldn't sleep at night. Somebody say, "Brother Pike, are you trying to scare me?" I sure am. I hope I can scare you. I want to do something to you. That's what they did to them. They scared them. They shook them up. They tore them up. They tore the community up. They say that even Billy Sunday, a Baptist preacher, preached so hard against men that drank whiskey that they could afford to give their employees a raise when he left. Hundreds of people would turn away from whiskey. They preached the gospel. Instead of a compromising, weak-kneed, jellyfish backbone sort of a lecture, they told men that they are not anything in the sight of God without God. Bunch of businessmen that ain't fit to be nothing. Nothing but wiped off and put in the flames of hell. You pampered and patted them and made them think they're something when they're on their way to hell. A bunch of reprobates. Because they give a little something in church. But I tell you one thing. If you can do something for Christ Jesus, get your mind on the Spirit. Get your mind on God. Come on, folks. I'm talking about living for God. You can freeze up on me, but I'm going to say it anyway. It don't make any difference. Now, when preachers back there, they preach repent. They preach straighten out your crooked life. They preach to the women that they ought to live right, that they ought to be godly, that they ought to be holy, that they ought to be clean. That they ought to communicate with their husbands and be under obedience. Be concerned about their homes and their little children. They taught men that they ought to be real men and stop sucking on a jug, chewing on a weed, and get down to business with God and love their families and provide for them. Be honest and upright men. Now, I know we got a crazy system in the day we're living in. I know that. I know God suffered it to typify perfection in the Spirit. I realize that. And we're going to have to be Johnny on the spot, as we say, in the Spirit. I realize that, but all this crazy system that they got out here, where if you don't pay your bills on a certain day, if you're 10 days late, they charge you $300. I think I got a bill the other day, they charged me $300 late charge or whatever it is. Service charge, because I was a little bit late. One of these days, God's going to burn their fields. Their crazy way of doing. Used to, they had a system, if it took a man 6 months to pay his bill, as long as he paid his bill, he was straight. As long as he kept his word, and that's the way it ought to be. If a man makes any effort to pay it, you ought to bear with him. Instead of this thing, you got to be there on a certain day, and this system that's Antichrist system, it's about to drive people crazy. The same businessmen, the same businesses. I happen to know for a fact, I'm acquainted with some of them. Those that pull some of the poor people to the line and say, pay right here, this date. I know for a fact some of them don't, they go for weeks and months without paying their bills. I throwed one of the leading cards. I know of two of them. I can name them right here. Two of the leading, the most outstanding credit cards they are. Throwed one of them up on the desk, and the man said, no, I don't want the thing. I said, but this is one of the best. He acknowledged that. He said, mind them folks are so slow about paying their bills, you don't never know when you're going to get it. One of them's the American Express. Another one's a TWA card. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Glory to God, I'm talking about real salvation and what's right. They skin our hide, as somebody says. If we don't do just their way, and they just do any old way. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. One of these days, God's going to draw them to the line about it. Someday, God's going to know why they didn't meet His deadline and why they didn't come front and center with their bills. If Jack and Joe and John can be up there, and if they've got a little nest egg of $50,000 or $100,000 laying back up there, if they... a little stockholder, it don't matter if they run over for 2 or 3 months. It's all right. We'll take care of that. But you let the man that needs the help need a little help, and they just about skin him alive. Want to borrow a dollar? They say, well, yes, if you got a car and you got a bus and you got a home and you got this and you got that and you stack it up and you give them about 10 times collateral. And then they check you out and find out that you just so-so. Then they say, well, we'll lend you a little bit as a starter. In other words, they don't want to run any kind of risk. No risk whatsoever. What they want to do is get their hand in your throat to cut your throat. They want you to make the investment to make sure that they don't lose nothing. And then they call themselves businesses that help people. They ought to be closed up, all of them. Amen. The world would be better off without them. That's why the Bible said, he that putteth out his money to usury shall not stand in the holy hill of God. All of those people will go to hell. All of them. That's why I preach like I do. It's my job to preach them into hell, because that's where they're going. Now, there's a lending that God believes in. There's a borrowing that God believes in. There's a right way that God believes in. There's a giving that God believes in. There's a life that God believes in. But it's not the Antichrist system. Amen. All right, getting back to the main theme of our subject now. When preachers preach a compromising religion and a compromising gospel that you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that and just any old will do, don't you know that people are not going to repent of their sins? Don't you know that when I was out in the world in my reprobate frame of mind back out there and I didn't know nothing but the world and that side of life, if somebody had come to me and said, now, Brother Pike, don't you worry about it. God loves you. God understands. It's all right. All you got to do is just... you got to acknowledge there is a God, you know, and know that you belong to Him. Well, ain't He dumb? He knows that. That is, has got any brain in Him at all, any thinking in Him at all. He knows that. Even a bird knows he belongs to God. Though he's just got a bird instinct, he knows God made him. Have you understand what I'm saying? Even the elements of the air, according to the Bible, they know that God made them. They are relative to God. They'll answer to God. They'll do anything God tells them. Are you listening? Folks, it takes more than that. It takes repenting of your sins. It takes forsaking your sins. It takes living a life of holiness, of overcoming your flesh and getting rid of your old desires. And getting rid of your gluttony, getting rid of your gossiping, getting rid of your backbiting, getting rid of your frolic, getting rid of your temper, getting rid of all these things that's always harassing you, your lustful passions, and always going, always buying, always getting, and getting your mind on God, and getting your mind on the things of God, and getting down to business to do something for Christ. I might say, well, I'm going to give something to God, but Brother Pike, I got a little plan of my own. Well, you better forget about God, because if you got any plans of your own, then you might as well take all that you're doing for God and put it on your plans, because that's all you're going to get anyway. If you got some kind of 50-50 deal going with God, you might as well forget the 50 part that goes to God, because God won't have it. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of the other things I will add unto you, Jesus said. God don't want any 50-50 deals out of you. God wants you to serve Him with all your heart, to love Him with all your mind, love Him with all your strength, love Him with all your heart, love Him with all of your desire. Everything should be Jesus. It should be Jesus when you wake up in the morning, Jesus when you go to bed at night, Jesus when you wake up in the night, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It should be Christ all the time. When you go to turn a bottle up to your mouth, you need to realize that that's wrong. When you go to suck on a weed, you need to realize that that's wrong. Somebody said, well, I'm trying to wean myself. You get the Holy Ghost, you won't try to wean yourself off of some weed. You'll have enough sense to get away from it. The Holy Ghost will give you enough sense to leave the bottle and the weed alone. As long as you're trying to weed yourself off of it, wean yourself off of it, you don't even know God. I might say, well, I love the Lord, but I'm just trying. You ain't trying to do nothing. You need to be born again. That's what's wrong with the church today. Like a man told me the other day, the Church of God preacher was trying to get him to join the church. He said, but I smoke cigarettes, but the Church of God preaches that it don't matter. But it does matter. It does matter. It does matter. The Bible said God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Somebody said, well, I just can't help it, Brother Pike. You're a liar. You can't help it. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, you're a liar. You can't help it. If you make some effort to help it, you're going to help it. You can't help it if you don't make any effort. If a man sits there with dirty feet and never makes any effort to put them in a tub of water, he'll never get them clean. But if he'll get up and draw himself a little water, you know. He said, I don't get so excited, Brother Pike, but I am anyway. I am. I get that way. You decide to put up with it if you're going to listen to me preach. See, that's the way I see it. In other words, if you're going to brush your teeth, you got to do a little pumping and a pulling and a scrubbing or something. I believe in righteousness, folks. I believe in living holy. I want to live holy. I want to do right. I want to be clean. I want to pray. I want to seek God. I want my people at Bethlehem to be holy people. I want them to be clean, upright people. I don't want a bunch of gossipers and backbiters and fault finders. I don't want a bunch of betrayers and Judases that every time they get out here because they got a little prestige and they're so afraid to rub up against one of our Bethlehemite brothers. So afraid they might spot their little old silly prestige. God help you and your little old group to get somewhere. Do something and leave us alone. And some of you people that so afraid one of our Bethlehem women might walk by with her long dress on. You hypocrite. That's what you are. I thank God for these women that's got enough boldness to cover their nakedness and walk uptown like a lady. And I tell you something, too. You say, well, Brother Pike, don't you believe the others are living right, even if they don't cover their legs? No, I don't. I sure don't. I don't believe they're living right. Now, if they don't know any better, never been taught any better, they may have that much from God. But they still need to put on the long dresses to live right. To cover up their nakedness. Somebody said, well, it ain't in the covering. According to the Bible, it is. It's called the covering of His glory. Hallelujah. What is the covering of His glory? His Word. What does His Word say? Dresses becometh wholeness. So then, I believe you ought to cover up your nakedness. I believe the men ought to dress right. I believe the women ought to dress right. I believe long dresses is right. I believe that's the only kind of dresses that's right for the women, is the long dresses. Now, I know that during camp meeting and during the other times and in visitations, I know we have people to come out here that don't have on the long dresses. But it ain't right. Say, well, she's got the Holy Ghost. She may have the Holy Ghost. I don't question that. But I'll tell you one thing. If she keeps the Holy Ghost, He'll have her with a long dress on before long. Now, you just watch and see. Amen. I might say, well, I know people that had the Holy Ghost and died without a long dress. No, you don't. It used to be a practice that God had them put on one when He put them in the casket. I used to work at a funeral home. I know that. If you couldn't get them on one no other way, they got it on when they got them in the casket. That's the kind He put them on. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You don't know nothing. A lot of times you just think you know something. You don't know something as you ought to know. One thing is that women need to cover up their nakedness. Men need to cover up their nakedness, folks. We need to be holiness people. I love to preach revelation to you, but I love to preach holiness too. I want to be a holy people. The Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. I want you to be holy. I want you to be clean. I want you to be holy with your tongue, holy with your words, holy with your thoughts, holy with your children. Don't run your kids out there in that old world of sports. Don't stick a TV in front of them and let them drink up the slop. Don't do things like that. Don't compromise. Try to live holy. I've watched people. They start off and they say, well, this little thing ain't going to hurt. Let them watch a little bit of this, a little bit of Mickey Mouse and Mighty Mouse. And the first news you know, they say, well, that didn't hurt. But the same people, it is long before the women don't feel like the long dresses is necessary. The next thing, they don't feel like it's wrong if they watch a little TV on the side of ungodliness. And the next thing, it doesn't bother them to do a little more. A little gossiping, a little backbiting, a little filth. They're just backslid all the way and won't confess it. That's what it is. You need to make the tree good or bad. God said, I'll cut it down. If it don't bring forth fruit, ain't no need to be a hypocrite about you. Either straight or you're crooked. You can't make the Ethiopian skin any color but what it is. You can't change the leopard spots. It's just like God made it. And they that are accustomed to do evil cannot do good. If you haven't been born again, you may be in the presence of the children of God, but you'll never live like one of them. You'll always reason in that mind of yours up here that this is a necessary and that is a necessary. And you'll get with somebody that'll agree with you. You know, that's what makes it so bad. Some old hypocrite, they won't listen to somebody that tries to tell them the truth. They've got to keep searching and digging in the muck until they find somebody else that's like them. And they'll say, well, praise God, at last I found somebody that's got a little sense. They say it ain't wrong for us to take a little drink together. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You keep a looking and a rooting, and after a while you find another old hog. And you grunt at me, he'll grunt back at you. And say, well, well, at last I found a comrade. It ain't wrong. He knows it ain't wrong to wallow in the slop. He's a consolation to me. Both of you are pigs. You've been a pig all the time. You just got in a lamb pen, that's all. See, you've got to get with somebody to get somebody to agree with you. It's like I told Brother Pascal today. We was talking about people telling you this and people telling you that. I said, Brother Pascal, that ain't worth 15 cents. People telling you something ain't worth 15 cents. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care who it is that's telling you. That ain't no good. It doesn't matter if it's your mother, your daddy, your preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a professor. If it's a man you got the most confidence in, it don't matter. If he don't tell you God's word, it's no good. It ain't worth 15 cents. It's just a lot of him running his mouth, that's all. You're wasting his time and your time too. You need to get somebody to tell you the word, or you need to get the word of God and get straightened out with God. Quit hypocriting around and trying to be a half and a half. Either get in or get out. Stop making us miserable and yourself miserable and God miserable. Some might say, Brother Pike, you're going to keep on preaching or you ain't going to have nobody. I keep on preaching till I have a house full. That's what I've got now, preaching the truth. I'll tell you one thing, I'll keep on preaching, I won't have no reprobates. The Bible said the wicked can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. You keep fanning, and after a while, some more chaff will jump up and the wind will blow it away. All right, the one thing about it, when you preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get through, boy, you got some solid grain. You can be sure there ain't no chaff among it. Now, I love you. I want to help you. But I say this again tonight. They didn't recognize the coming of the Lord, though he had come. And the Bible said his day would burn as an oven. And who shall abide the day of his coming? For it shall be as a full of soap and as a refiner's fire. He shall utterly burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. But the wheat he shall gather into the garners. Let me tell you something, friend. You listen at me. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't going to take this bunch of rubbish that's out in the world. He is going to take a garbage can into the kingdom of God. He isn't going to take all these people that's professing Christianity out there. God is going to heat the oven. He's going to heat the furnace. And he's going to burn the chaff away and what he's got left. He's going to bring them in. And the Bible said when he gets through, the trees of God shall be so few in number that even a child shall be able to number them. And then God's going to seal them in and he's going to take them away to glory. And the rest is going to be here to go through the fire, be burned by the powers of Antichrist. I love you. I want to help you. But it's cleaning up time. It's time you start to do something. Let's get up from where we're at and do something. If you're planning to do something for God, you need to get up. They said, well, where's Elijah at? He's supposed to come. Jesus said, well, he's been here all the time and you didn't see him. You didn't see him. They didn't see anything. They were so blinded. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when Elijah comes. They shall not see when Christ comes. The Bible said they shall not see when good cometh. They shall not see. Having eyes to see, they will not see. Having ears, they will not hear the voice of God. But everyone that doth hear it shall live. They shall live. For it shall bring them life, and they shall live. I tell you, you need to get up from where you're at. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Jesus called Lazarus. He said, wake up. Get up, Lazarus. Get up. Get out of the tomb. Wake up. That midnight cry come, they trimmed their lamps. It was waking up time. It's time to get up. Get up, let's get to doing something for God. If you're not praying and you're not fasting and you're not studying and you're not seeking God, you're not mellowizing your heart, then get up. You know, I have some of you to come around. You have the hardest, meanest, devilish old attitude and spirit. I don't even like to be around you. Because when you come around, I feel the hardest old devilish attitude, you know, of wanting somebody to bow down to you. And somebody, you just feel it in your presence, you know. Instead of being meek and humble and wanting to bow down to somebody and serve somebody and do something and use a little entreaty and find their favor. Don't you know you ain't born again? Don't you know you're not going to go to heaven? Don't you know you're fooling yourself and waiting to the last minute when the Christ is setting on you for you to drop into the flames but not have a chance to do anything about it? It'd be too late. All of a sudden, you'll be gone. Don't you know you're playing the fool? Wake up, folks, and realize God is a spirit, that God is trying to help you. Get rid of that old flesh of yours. Put it to the fire. You men, get up and do something. You businessmen, realize you ain't no more than these other men. You ain't a bit more than these other men. Not a bit more. So don't go to lording over them trying to feel like you're special and supposing that worldly gain is godliness, that God's favored you because you got a little something. God ain't favored you. God ain't favored you because you got a dollar. It may be that you've crooked somebody because you got it. You don't know. Just hope that it is that God give it to you. If it is, you'll use it for God and you'll be straight with it. Maybe you held it back from the reaper. The Bible said, woe unto them that's held back by fraud, from them that's reaped down his field. You might have held it back by fraud. Who knows? You ain't no more than nobody else. You, let's get down off the pinnacle. Let's just be brothers and let's do what we can. Labor together. You know, Brother Taylor's had to sand floors and paint buildings and dig holes and everything else. Come on down to our house. Condescend to men of low estate and find yourself. The Lord will help you out of a wilderness. He'll do something for you. All you got to do is just get up from where you're at and get to where you're going. That's all. All right, I love you. The coming of the Lord is at hand. But as it was in that day, he'll take the hypocrite by surprise and they won't see it. He said, you think that I'm altogether such a one as you are. That is because I've not reproved you and I've let you by with your foolishness. And I've not done anything to you and I've been merciful to you. And you gossiping, backbiting and all this. And you think I'm in agreement with you and I still think that you're so-so and everything's all right. You think I'm altogether such a one as you. But one day I'll meet you face to face. And I'll take the hypocrite by surprise. And you're going to find out I'm not in agreement with it. He's in agreement with this book. If you're not in agreement with this book, just take those things as mercy and say, God, let me straighten up and get in agreement with the book because he's going to get me sooner or later. And he will. He will. So if you're not in agreement with the book, ladies, get in agreement with the book. Men, if you're not in agreement with the book, get in agreement with the book. Okay, let's stand together. Let's don't go out from Bethlehem preaching some kind of a gospel. Paul said, if it be another gospel, don't go out there preaching some kind of gospel that, you know, you can serve God if you want to. If you don't want to, it's up to you. Don't you do no such. You go out there and you preach, men repent or perish. You preach repentance and remission of sin in the name of Jesus and no other way. And you tell them, men, if they don't repent of their sin, they are going to die and go to hell. And I'll tell you what, you'll get some converts. But if you go out there and you start telling them that if they want to, all right, if they don't, well, it's all right, you know, and then you ain't going to get no converts. I mean, why should they repent? Why should they be converted? After all, if God doesn't care, why should they care? Jesus said one time to some people and making a fuss because a tower fell on some men, the Tower of Siloam over there, he said, don't you think that those men that the tower fell on and those men over there that Pilate mingled their blood with their sacrifice, don't you think that horrible things, that something happened to them just because they were the most wicked men? He said, while they're not wicked above all men, he said the same thing going to happen to all of you if you don't repent. In like manner, every one of you is going to perish. Peter said, repent. With wicked hands you've taken and crucified the Lord of glory. That I trust that you did it in your ignorance. Repent. You know, you need to repent, folks. You need to repent. There are some things, and that's a sovereignty in Christ. You may want to sing a song. You may not want to sing a song. You may decide to go to church. You may stay out tomorrow night. I think you'll get a good tanning from the Lord if you do those things. You know, if you're careless in those things. But that is a sovereignty. You can decide to go or stay, you know, if you don't make it a routine. But when it comes to repenting and serving God, you can't. That's not optional. You either serve God or you die and go to hell. And not only that, but when you come to the knowledge of the truth, you shorten your days here by your disobedience. God not only sends you to hell, but he'll take your days off here and give you a short lifeline right here and put you in hell the sooner. So, If you want to see long life and good days, refrain your tongue that it don't speak any evil or guile. Somebody says, well, I'm going to serve God, but I just don't feel like going to church. Well, you're a hypocrite. You know you can't serve God and not go to church. If there ever was a hypocrite, that's a hypocrite. One of the worst kind. The Bible emphatically states, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. People can't serve God and stay out of church. The very fact they stay out of church proves they hadn't got God. God is the Spirit and God is the Word. And if the Word was in you, take you to church. Because the Word said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. If you had the Spirit of the Word, it'd automatically take you to the house of God. That's one thing that I believe overthrew Brother Branham's followers. They're just about gone. You don't hardly ever hear anything of them anymore. One time he was doing a work for God, but they got to the place where they didn't believe in going to church. About the only ones you ever hear of is Brother Green's group out there that went to church. He's about the only one that was able to stay above the water. All right, we'll take just a minute here, and if Brother Carl will bring his little one up, he and his wife, or we'll dedicate the little one to God. I didn't fail to dedicate it before when they asked me. I love you, and I appreciate you, and I want to tell you the truth. And if every one of you leaves, I'm still going to tell you the truth. Now, if you want to be my comrade in the gospel and you want to stand with me in the gospel of Christ, supporting the truth, I want you. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I'm not preaching the truth, we need to close house here anyway. The quicker we get these doors closed, the better off humanity will be. If I'm misleading people and I'm just here to get another dollar and get another biscuit, then we need to do something. We need to change the situation. Now, we appreciate Carl and the wife. Carl's come to be with us from California. He's been with us a good little bit here. And his wife grew up with us here as a little girl. She's been here ever since she's been a little girl. We appreciate him. We appreciate their little one here. And I know they're real thrilled over it. It's precious. There's nothing more wonderful than a darling little child. And we appreciate it so much. And as we lay hands on it, we're going to pray to God and we're going to dedicate it to the Lord. What's the name of it, brother? Charles Leon. Charles Leon. Charles is the name of my brother. Charles was a prince. As a matter of fact, I believe it's Prince Charles is taking over in Canada. Isn't that right? The successor there, I believe, in case something happens to the queen. But anyway, Leon means lion. And the name Leon turned around is Noel. So the little child has a great significance. Let's just pray and ask God's blessings upon it. It's so wonderful the way that God has blessed us here in the sanctuary, blessed the little children, and the significance that each one has had as it's come forth. But remember, your lives are important to God. Now, you may not feel that you're important to God. You may feel like I don't have any place in God. But I want you to know that you're important to God, that there's something for you to do. But be humble, be sincere, condescend to men of low estate. Be very simple, be plain, be down to earth. And the Lord will bless you and the Lord will use you. Don't be foolish, be very wise. Walk, order your steps like sons of God. Hold yourself erect like great and mighty gods walking through the earth. Add to your experience godliness, not to be proud and haughty, but to be godly and pure, and walk among the people like the great gods that you are, holding up the name of Jesus and realizing that you own heaven and earth and all things therein. And that you want to be merciful, even to the beast of this world. You want to be merciful. And that you want to reach all you can to the lost out there. And being a light to them, be kind, be gentle, but be thorough. Be thorough. All right, let's just pray as we dedicate it. It's a beautiful little child. And it looks like it's healthy and well, for which I'm very grateful. Precious, wonderful Father of heaven, Lord, we thank you for this little darling child. May your blessings, may your spirit, may your greatness, dear God, be upon it. Father, you've given it to Carl and to the wife. And, oh God, they in return, Lord, as Samuel was given unto thee, so do they give the baby unto thee, that you might have it, that it might be yours, Lord. Lord, we do dedicate it unto thee in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, your Son, Father. Heal, Lord, when it's sick. Save it, O God. Keep its soul from misery and from the flames of the burning pit. O God, feed it when it's hungry. Clothe it when it's destitute, Lord. Father, keep it along the ways of life. Make its enemies thine enemies, O God. And when fears and complex of life come, Lord, bring the bright sunshine of your glory and understanding into its life and into its heart. Make a way when there is no way. Protect it in the time of storm and evil. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Bless these parents. Prosper them. Bless them. Heal them. Supply their needs. Help them to bring the child up. Lord, in the nutrient admonition of the Lord Jesus, I ask it in Jesus' darling, wonderful name for your glory. Praise God. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? There's nothing like living for God. You know, folks, I say this again. I love you, but I'm going to tell you like it is. If you don't never come back no more, there's one thing you can say. I heard it one time. That's all that's required is just the gospel to every creature. And you hear the gospel and that's it. You repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin that you might receive the Holy Ghost. And I'm just as plain, as sincere as I can be. When I say be baptized in the name of Jesus, I don't mean be baptized in some other name. But I mean the name of Jesus. The Bible said there's none other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved except the name Jesus, and remission of sin is in none other name. So you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus and quit playing games in churches with people. The teachings of the church, and the only church that God ever set up, was according to the word of God, and that is the word of God. And he that God sendeth will speak God's word. So you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you haven't been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, get filled with God's Spirit and let's go on and do something for Jesus Christ. I long to see the day when the Church of God and the Assemblies of God and the Catholic and all the rest of them, that especially the Pentecostals, the ones that's really trying to live for God, that believes in the Holy Ghost, when they'll quit playing a game and start baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ. They know that's a bunch of foolishness. They're carrying on and playing a game, and they need to quit it and start baptizing people in the name of the Lord Jesus. They know the Bible says that remission of sin is in the name of Jesus, and they need to stop what they're doing and start doing what's right. As far as being filled with the Holy Ghost, I believe there's people in there that's filled with the Holy Ghost. And I believe with all my heart that there's people in there that love God. There's people that's never been baptized in the name of Jesus that have the Holy Ghost, that's filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost someday will bring them to the name of Jesus Christ. And I know that the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I know that that's taught in Matthew 28, and I know that you should be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. That's Bible. Any Bible scholar that understands the Word of God ought to know that, or he ought not to be preaching. If he hasn't come that far, he hasn't even got the interpretation of the Scripture. He needs to pray till he prays through to get the understanding of the Scriptures before he even tries to teach anybody. So then, to do anything else is to carry on a bunch of foolishness. Now, I hope that they'll start doing right, and I trust that they will. Maybe someday that they'll get their eyes open. I know there's many of them that are getting their eyes open. Preaching at the full gospel, businessmen and different ones. I found out that some of them that's over the chapters have been baptized in Jesus' name. They're just afraid to tell anybody about it. You know, they're afraid that they'll put them out of the synagogue, you know. But and there's a lot of them, the Church of God evangelists that I've met that's baptized in Jesus' name, but they're afraid they won't let them preach in the Church of God, so they go on, you know, letting them believe what they will. But that isn't right. There's a right way. We need to tell the people the right thing and help them. You know, I don't think people ought to leave the church. People that build a $100,000 church over here, whether they call it Church of God, Assembly of God, or whatever, I don't think they ought to run off and forsake it. That's their church and their home. They ought to get in there and get the thing straightened out is what they ought to do. Ought to get in there and get some of the brethren together and say, look, we're going to quit this foolishness and we're going to follow the Holy Ghost and we're going to start baptizing these people in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you can call it Church of God in Jesus' name or whatever you want to. But whether you want to call it Church of God or whatever you want to, we're going to preach the Bible and we're going to baptize these people right. And we're not going to run off and leave our church and the place where we've invested our money. This is our church. And get rid of the hypocrites and get the hypocrites out of there. That's what the Bible teaches, is get the squatters off your land and claim your land. Don't run off and give it to the devil. Now, if you can't serve God any other way, if there's no other way to serve God, you can't get them listening, you better get out there fast as you can. Better run for your life. Sometimes you'll be praying, maybe in the wee hours of the midnight or way over in the morning, and all of a sudden, by faith, through the spiritual eyes of God, you know, you'll be looking away and you'll hear yourself saying, I've heard myself say this, you know, my Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You know, you look over Jordan. You know what looking over Jordan is? You know, you get up here to where the carnal mind is, you get blocked. But you keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And after a while, you get over Jordan, you get in the mind of Christ. Oh, my, how the grapes of Eshcol, they shine. You know, and you begin to see the wonderful things of Canaan. And then you can just see those prancing horses and those chariots of fire. My, you just become interwoven with them. You just feel so good, you know. You know that song said, I'll slip away home, hallelujah, I'll be going home. My, what a wonderful thought. You just get in there with them and they get in there with you. And glory to God. It's no wonder that Enoch done what he done. He didn't want to come back to this place. Did you know that? Praise God, praise God, praise God. You love Jesus? It's so wonderful. So wonderful. It's so wonderful. Just to look over on the other side. You find yourself, you know, just looking over on the other side and enjoying the wonderful things of God. You know, the Lord has been good to our people, real good to them. I want you to really pray for the camp meeting, really pray to God that God will bless us, that He will do something for us. And I want you to come back in a spiritual frame of mind to worship God. You know, I can tell that you're not really talking to the Lord like you ought to, because if you was, you'd have a spirit of worship among you. You know, God inhabits the praise of His people. And you should have a praise in your heart, a continual praise. The Bible said, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And the Bible teaches wine maketh the heart merry, and we're partakers of the new wine. I stand at the heart's door and knock. He that openeth to me, I'll come in and sup with him. Your heart should be having a continual feast, and that a feast of charity. It should be always, always as God sups with us. And you should be praising God that the Holy Spirit, God is a spirit, that's how that He inhabits the praise of His people. Him being a spirit, the only way He can come down is when we begin to praise and make a joyful noise unto God, and then the Spirit is present. That's His habitation. He is a spirit, and to praise and to adore, to form an adoration unto God brings the Spirit present, and that Spirit inhabits the praise of the people, moves all of the audience to and fro. So let's have a praise, let's have a worship. Let's have a desire in our heart to worship, to love Him. as we gather together in the name of His lovely Son. For if we come together in the name of His Son, the Spirit said, I'll be there. Did you know the Spirit is always there if you come in the name of the Son? If as many as two comes in the name of the Son, Jesus, the Spirit will come to be with you. You say, well, Brother Pike, what if one just comes in the name of Jesus? Well, see, if you're in the name of Jesus, you've got the Spirit inside of you. Where are you going to come to? Where you're at, you got in the name of Jesus. But He was speaking of a gathering. Two forms a gathering. Wherever you get together, He'll make it a place of gathering. Just two of you. So then if you come in the name of Jesus, He said, I'll be in the midst. That is, the Spirit said, I'll be there. He's the Father. So then let's worship God in spirit and in truth. You know truth? How do you know what truth is? Truth, do you love the truth? The Bible said if you don't have a love for the truth, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe a lie and be damned. You know what a reprobate mind is? Your own thinking. Lean not to your own understanding. You'll think that what you're doing is right and what you want is right and to work it your way is right and what you think about it is right. And you'll get away from what God tells you about it and what God's Word says about it. And you'll get to thinking it's right your way and your thoughts and your doings. And the first news you know, God will meet you face to face. So then let's love truth. Let's think truth. Let's live truth. Let's be truth made manifest in the flesh. Let's be the Spirit of truth made manifest in the flesh. Truthful in our thoughts, truthful in our words, truthful in our deeds, worshiping God with our spirit, that our spirit might be one with the Spirit of truth, and that this temple is the Lord's, it's His body, that it might be a body of truth to present truth, truth in all of our dealings everywhere we go. You love Jesus? Praise be unto God. God is so good.